Hi there. This is the A Lot To Say podcast, a conversation-based project focused on unconventional career paths and the projects that consume us. I'm your host, Gary Williams, or Gaz, as many call me. And A Lot To Say is part of the Alt Projects family of content, obsessing about the overlap between creativity, technology, and culture. I'm fortunate to spend my days working alongside technologists, artists, researchers, and people who just generally give a damn about the world we live in. And I'm very lucky to be able to hear of some incredible career journeys over that time from some really inspiring people. I can't wait for you to hopefully discover some new and lesser known stories about the things people get wrapped up in and what led them to this point. This is A Lot To Say. Well, welcome back to A Lot To Say. First episode of the relaunch, and it's my absolute pleasure to welcome as the first guest on it, the creative force that is Kate Berry. She's the founder of OK Motels, bringing music, art, and friendship down the highway to motels all across regional Victoria, and honestly, who knows how far from there. From towns such as Charlton to Geelong and more, OK Motels brings locals and out-of-towners together in the most memorable ways, and Kate's an exceptional curator of the vibe, I guess you'd say. She curates a really memorable, I guess, backdrop of Australia's best musical acts to appear at these regional motels and brings a whole bunch of people together. Bands such as Amel and the Sniffers, Rolling Blackouts, Coastal Fever, Cash Savage, and The Nation Blue, to name just a few. She's done a bunch of stuff throughout her time, photographing for Frankie and Smith Journal, launching blogs, books, records, and way more. And she's an incredible person and a creative force, as I sort of mentioned before. So without further ado, here's my chat with Kate Berry. All right. Well, joining me for this episode is Kate Berry. How are you, Kate? Thank you so much for joining the A Lot To Say podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I hope I live up to all the amazing people that you've had on so far.
Oh, of course you will. You've been on the list since the very start. You know, because we'll dive into your OK Motels project, but it's one that I heard about before you sort of launched and instantly loved the idea, and you built up an amazing sort of Instagram following to like go along with it. But I always, that project or what's become a large part of your life really, really connected with me, and I guess in regards to, you know, the love that you exude about sort of regional Victoria, etc. But that's a reason I've always had you on the list. I've always wanted to ask you about that particular project. But let's talk about OK Motels, because for context for people listening, this is off the back end of your most recent run of OK Motels in Geelong and Charlton. How about we go into it? Why don't you explain OK Motels for anyone listening who's not familiar with it, and then we'll dive into what the experiences are like.
Yeah, sure. So OK Motels originally just started as an Instagram account of all my favourite photos of my favourite motels around regional Victoria mostly. And on my travels, I just happened to stumble across this motel in Charlton Motel, that happened to have a 650 capacity 70s function room, and I just walked into it and I just got goosebumps. I was like, this place obviously, you know, had lots of good times in there, but obviously it was covered in a bit of dust and needed some good times again. So I originally thought it would be just a good place to have a little party with some friends, but obviously it's kind of steamrolled into snowballed into what it is now, which is I think we've had 7 events now, and originally it was just, you know, having bands play at the Charlton Motel, but it's, you know, since then I've partnered with Tell Your Friends You Love Them with Matto. And just bringing a lot of importance into creating connection between people from the city and the smaller towns in regional Victoria. And, you know, because I think that we all, you know, make assumptions about each other. You know, the people from the city make assumptions of, you know, country people, and, you know, vice versa. So it's kind of nice to create an atmosphere where people can sort of you know, enjoy mutual things and, you know, have a good combo and sort of get to know each other. So that's that's where it is now.
So you've done a run of three shows recently, was it? So you did a couple in Charlton.
The luckiest shows ever that just happened to squeeze between the two lockdowns. So there was one in Geelong at the Cryo Bay Motel and then two at the Charlton Motel.
Considering going back to the start, I mean, you were talking about, you know, I guess pairing up the city and the country, et cetera. How was that received the first time you sort of pitched the idea to, I guess, let's say the operators of the Charlton Hotel, like how did they receive that news when you sort of mentioned that you were looking to bring people in, but also did they have a lot of hesitation, I guess, thinking you were, you know, simply taking the piss or poking fun at their establishment or the town in general?
Well, I mean, I have approached, you know, people in towns that do think I'm taking the piss, but Glenda, who is the manager of the Charlton Motel, has always been on board and it's been like my biggest backer. And you know, I've always said if it wasn't for her, it just would never have happened, because a lot of the time, you know, I mean, the first event in Charlton, you know, I mean, I booked Tropical Fuckstorm as the headliner, and, you know, you rock up to like a town of 900 people in, you know, regional Victoria and tell them that that's what's happening. It's kind of a hard sell. But, you know, Glenda, she was advised that it was probably not the best thing for her to do by certain people, but she stuck by me. And, you know, I think the first event definitely broke the ice with a lot of the people in Charlton. They sort of realised that, you know, the people who were coming to the events were actually nice people. Yeah. And, you know, they, you know, a lot of the time people in Charlton say, you know, their money's the same as their money. So, and they like spending in town. So, you know, they're pretty happy with that outcome also. But I think definitely as the event has grown, you know, I think the town's definitely come to embrace the event a lot more, which has given, you know, okay, this opportunity to sort of, you know, activate more spaces and bring in, like, I mean, the last two events we did in Charlton, we did one with the Wedderburn CWA and the Charlton CWA, and we did like a Devonshire tea with speed friending, and
what's CWA for reference?
The Country Women's Association. So
awesome.
Yeah, so they're famous for, you know, their scones that they, so they at the Royal Melbourne Show, they actually do like their Devonshire tea at the Royal Melbourne Show, and so they did their, you know, famous recipe of their scones for our event, and you know, and that was definitely a hard sell to get them across the line, especially when I told them that, you know, they needed to do gluten-free and vegan version as well. So it was really nice though to see, you know, like when I talk about, you know, the connection and getting people together, it was really cool to see, you know, the CWA women come in to the hall to, you know, to cook the scones and being a little bit, you know, apprehensive about, you know, what was going to happen. But then by the end of it, you know, everyone's hugging, laughing. I just spent the whole time crying pretty much. I was just like, this is just the most beautiful thing. and, you know, there was like, and this is the thing I'm talking about, like with making assumptions about people. So, you know, the women from the CWA rock up for the first event, the Wedderburn CWA. And, you know, Matto from Tell Your Friends You Love Them asked one of the women, you know, what music would you like us to play? And she's like, oh, why don't you put on some Anita Lane? She passed away this week. And we're like, oh, okay. It's not what we were expecting the lady from the CWA to say. And then she was saying, oh, yeah, you know, I was married to Nick Cave's brother and we hung out with Anita all the time. And we were just like, oh. And wow. So, yeah, it's like, you know, this is just these stories that you hear from people that you probably just would never have imagined, you know, you'd hear, you know what I mean? So it's, just having the opportunity to have, you know, break down those kind of walls and be able to have those conversations. It's just so, yeah, so great.
Yeah, and I think, this sort of shines from you, but I guess you obviously place a lot of importance on these conversations. I guess taking a lot of pleasure in finding out those little sort of micro aspects about people's lives. Would that be correct?
Oh, yeah, it's just, I think it's what makes this so wonderful, you know, like, and to be able to give people that come to the event space to find out those stories on their own as well. Like, I just love hearing, you know, people come up to me and go, oh, I met this guy at the pub and he does this. And it's like, oh, I never even thought that. And I think it's just what makes the event so special to me.
Yeah. I think also, I mean, judging by the lineup, you know, like if we were going to go through some of the bands, maybe I won't ask you your favourite, but you know, if we're going to, you mentioned Tropical Fuckstorm, you know, obviously The Nation Blue and Amel and the Sniffers and Bat Piss and so on. Like, you know, a lot of these groups are firmly entrenched within, I guess, the Tote, sort of Bendigo Hotel, sort of Melbourne vibe and, you know, obviously, you know, very colourful character sort of environment, which is, you know, essentially you've sort of replicated elements of it in these small country towns. But what I was also curious to know was, I mean, you're prompting a lot of people to come from the city to this area and have sort of a bit of a replicated experience back home in terms of the bands in this new environment. But how about people locally in the regional areas? Have you seen that grow in terms of their attendance for the events you've been putting on in their local area?
Yeah, definitely. I think I think I've noticed it's not necessarily the bands that have been drawing the locals in. I mean, there are definitely people that live locally that are into some of the bands. But I think what has drawn the locals in more is just by giving them more time and space as to be part of the event as well. So I think, you know, the last two events we did, actually the last three events, we made it Friday and Saturday night, where we do the Friday night, we have a locals and blow-ins pool competition. And so it's like a doubles pool comp. And the partnership, the partners have to be one local, one blowing. And so it kind of instantly creates this, you know, connection between these two people that are all of a sudden teammates. And so on the Friday night, all the locals can just come for free. And so I just kind of feel that gives them an opportunity to, I don't know, try before you buy, I suppose. Just to, like, for them to go, all right, this is actually not scary, it's not weird, it's a welcoming place, and I feel like that sort of has definitely encouraged the locals to sort of participate a bit more as well.
Very cool. Like, I think, yeah, I'm not sure what their some of their assumptions might have been about the environment. But you know, I definitely recognise that you put quite an emphasis into, you know, creating the experience for people in sort of, you know, some really interesting ways. I'd imagine that the initial OK Motels was sort of just fundamentally focused on the bands that were playing and sort of the room. Yeah. But you've added things over time. Like, I noticed that, you know, even sort of, you know, Callum Preston putting together a mini golf for this year's one with the replica of the Tote was like pretty damn cool.
Yeah, well, you know. Yeah, it was funny actually, because I went up there, I went to the Charlton Motel and created a little mini OK Motels for like four of my closest friends for the Christmas holidays. And we were just sort of sitting out the back of the motel and kicking around the dirt, and my friend's like, is this a mini golf course? So all of a sudden we discovered that underneath all this like eucalyptus and dirt and dust was this concrete mini golf course behind the back of the motel. And, you know, and I've been going there since 2018 and had never even noticed it before. So I got this incredible, awesome local guy to dig it all up for me. And, yeah, Callum built the mini golf course of my dreams. And it's really cool to sort of be able to slowly add little bits and sort of bring bits of, you know, the motel or Charlton to life that may not have, you know, has been probably overlooked for a little bit.
And I really love these different aspects, whether it's focused on the, you know, the interpersonal connection between people that you're sort of stimulating through, you know, as you said before, like, you know, the locals and out of towners sort of pairing up mm-hmm. together, or whether it's, you know, using something as part of the physical environment. I think it's it's definitely noticeable that you sort of add to it each year in terms of heightening that experience. So very cool. Look, I'm definitely not moving on from OK Motels. Like, I'll definitely come back to it, but I'd love to know you, like, post delivering it, and luckily delivering it, you know, in this strange time where we were in between lockdowns, as we've eventually found out. But, you know, what's been on your mind now in the wash as you sort of delivered them, and you know, what's been keeping you keeping you awake at night?
Well, it's really interesting, actually. I mean, obviously it's been a weird time for everybody, and you know, like, lockdown did literally happen like a week after the last OK happened, and you know, like, and so there was three events in 6 weeks that happened, and so, you know, the week after the last OK happened, I pretty much spent a week in bed thinking that I'd, you know, had COVID and I just had a super spreader event. So I was like lying in there going, oh my God, this is awful. But it was just exhaustion, so thank goodness for that. But I mean, you know, to be honest, I've actually found it really quite difficult in these last few months since the last OK, because, I mean, my happy place has been busy and creating and you know, taking risks. And I feel that, you know, this, because we were going to do another one in November this year, and I actually weirdly woke up at 2 o'clock one morning and just said, you know what, I don't think I can do it. Like, for the first time, I felt like I just was like, I don't know if I can mentally deal with the will it or won't it, or, you know, and also I just, I don't know, I felt like something had definitely taken a bit of a beating within me with, you know, with creating as well, especially being locked up inside and you know, a lot of the people that, you know, you work with on these events are, you know, artists and musicians.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're all going through a really shit time. And so, you know, it's hard to sort of be excited about that kind of stuff when that kind of feeling is around as well. And but I feel that, you actually asked me, you know, about people that inspired me, and this was my friend, actually, one of my best friends. She's a kindergarten teacher, and she just quit her job yesterday because she's like, I just need to, taking 12 months leave. She's like, I just need to, you know, this isn't what I want to do. But I'm not going to know what it is that I want to do until I'm free and have the space to do it. And I was like, that is the thing that has been missing in my life for like the last 6 months or whatever. And so I was like, I really was, you know, when she told me that yesterday, I was like, oh, okay. And so I've definitely turned a corner, I think, just being from her, you know, leap has inspired me to sort of start to look back into, you know, taking leaps and a bit of risk taking again. But, you know, as I said, it is difficult in this this time to do that kind of thing. So
yeah,
it seems it's less fun.
Yeah, it's definitely less fun, isn't it? Definitely less spontaneity. So, you know, it's there's a bit of irony there, I guess, in us having this chat like right at this juncture, because obviously you have a lot of solidarity with the people that would attend the events or activations, in terms of, you know, many peers and many creative individuals that are friends or strangers that are all sort of like-minded. But then you've had this experience with a friend that has maybe sort of, I guess, would it be right to say, sort of, I guess, allowed you to structure your thoughts in terms of what you've been feeling, like, you know, that you just need to be thinking and still at the moment to formulate your sort of next plan of attack?
Yeah, I think I definitely, like, while I was doing my shower thinking this morning, I was thinking kind of how grey everything felt, like this kind of, you know, everyday kind of, like, I've got all these projects coming up, but I don't know, I just sort of sit at my desk and go, I mean, you know, it doesn't help that the sky is literally grey every day, but but yeah, it's interesting. Like, I just don't often find myself in this space, and so I've actually found it quite uncomfortable, but, you know, quite challenging, and up for the challenge as well, to try and, you know, sit in it and work it out. And
Yeah,
because, you know, as I said, you know, I'm a lover of taking risks and that kind of stuff. But I feel that the opportunities for that just aren't around, you know, like no one feels, I mean, you know, I mean, I could go and put on a party tomorrow, but, you know, no one can come. So, you know, it's, yeah, it's an interesting space to be in at the moment.
I think, you know, and this is just purely my perception, but maybe it's something you've thought about as well. Obviously, with each project you go into, you also pour a massive amount of yourself into it. It's, I certainly don't see anything having a, couldn't even categorize it as a, like a cold mechanical feel. Like everything is incredibly, you in sort of some way, and you can see all the little like marks of where you've sort of had some influence in, you know, just adding some additional personality.
Yeah.
So is that sort of potentially a paralyzing prospect for you also, because you need to sort of not only come up with the projects but also really make it something worthwhile, satisfying in your own mind?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's yeah, it's a tough one. I actually had a conversation the other day with a friend and work colleague who said my biggest weakness was that I put everything of myself into my projects, but it's also my biggest, you know, it's my biggest strength. So I was like, and, you know, and that's, I guess that's why I spend, like, you know, days and weeks in bed after putting on these things. But I mean, that's what, you know, makes, you know, we feel alive and so connected to the event and to the, you know, like dancing at 2 o'clock in the morning to people who are, you know, enjoying this thing, this idea I had once, is just like mind blowing to me. Like, it's just,
yeah.
It's just, yeah, it's just incredible. It's such a, yeah, I wouldn't want to do anything else. So, and I think that's the struggle. It's like, I've always, you know, with other projects that I've done in my past, it's like, oh yeah, this is cool, but, you know, I could probably do a few other things on the side. Whereas this, I just want to put everything into it. And I think that that is what is the yeah, why I feel a bit sort of paralyzed at the moment. So it's like, well,
yeah,
it's like, I got nowhere to go. But that's, but in saying that, I do know that I have started planning the next that will have a lot of sun and, you know, summery vibes. And I plan for, you know, the next one to be one where we can all celebrate being a little bit more free.
Yeah, I
but you don't, that sounds like, yeah, right, Kate.
No, not at all. I'm trying to think of asking. I hope this isn't too blunt. But, you know, when you run OK Motels, any single one of them, do you get to enjoy it yourself in the moment? You get a lot of satisfaction, obviously, from having a germ of an idea become a thing and seeing a lot of people interacting with it and engaging and having a great time. But do you enjoy it yourself in the moment?
Look, I do get to eventually. I have to say that, you know, that sort of hour of, like, doors opening and that kind of thing is probably, like, one of the most stressful periods of my life.
Yeah.
For some reason, I always end up, not having enough rooms for artists or some shit goes down and and I'm just on the phone and I'm like, but apparently I'm very cool and calm under pressure, but inside I'm not feeling that in any way. But you know, eventually it all settles down and you can kind of start to roll with, you know, the fun times a bit. And I mean, the last event, or the second last event, I was just sitting outside exhausted at about 1:30 in the morning, and our beautiful friend Kayleen came out and got me, and she said, "You're going to dance the last half an hour." And I was like, "All right." And it was just like magic, like just to see, as I said, to see everyone having such a great time. And finally, I actually think that was the first time I allowed myself to let loose a little bit at any of the events. So I mean, my trademark is I'll get a can of cider, and by the end of the night there's like 15 cans of cider with like a sip in them all around. It's like, you know, I've got to rush off and do something. Or so but you know, as I think as the events go on and you know, I'm a bit more relaxed in them, and I've also got, you know, an incredible bunch of people who help with the events now. So it's not so solo.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm just generally curious about it because it's a bit of a double-edged sword, isn't it? Like, you know, some of your favourite experiences, I'm assuming, in sort of, if we were referring again to sort of that sort of, you know, Tote Hotel in Collingwood environment, is, you know, the conversations you get wrapped up in where you can, you know, I guess, you know, talk absolute nonsense, but, you know, essentially have both people's attention, whereas, you know, in the OK Motels context, unfortunately, anyone who interacts with you probably has a quarter of your attention just based on the sheer amount of shit going on. So, and I'd imagine that would be certainly not disappointing, but it's like, you know, the thing, those interpersonal connections are probably what's sort of most inspiration for setting it up in the first place, I guess.
Yeah, but I mean, I love, you know, I love watching that stuff happen between people. You know, I love watching, you know, people from, you know, one of my favourite things to do is when Glenda, so the motel manager, who I love to pieces, my favourite thing is when she comes in and starts taking photos and filming the bands, and I just, you know, I just love it. I just, you know, I'm like, she just, you know, it's her thing as well, and she's so invested in it and she just loves it so much. And that brings me so much joy, seeing that it's not something that I'm imposing on her, you know, 2 or 3 times a year. It's something that she actually really looks forward to. So, yeah, so.
I know you live in Ballarat at the moment, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. And have the your daughters, have they attended any of the events as well?
No. No, I mean, I do, I would like that eventually. I mean, my eldest daughter's 17, so I'm sure, you know, she would probably be up for coming along. I just would like to put her to work, to be honest. So, you know, next year she can, you know, roll her sleeves up and be part of that. But, and it's quite cute because I do, you know, like a lot of her friends like, you know, certain bands that do play it okay, so you know it's nice to be able to offer my eldest daughter some kind of street cred at school, because she still goes to school in Collingwood, in Ballarat. So you know, they're probably a bit more attuned to who's, you know, the band's playing at Charlton than the kids here.
So, not at all that Ballarat is a small town. It's a decent-sized, smaller city that just happened to be, you know, a little while away from Melbourne. But I guess, you know, maybe in regards to the, again, to lean into that sort of regional town feel, you know, was that a big part of your childhood? Were you spending a lot of time in regional areas? You obviously really enjoy, say the Charlton location in regards to the physical building environment, because you were wowed by that when you first entered it. But is that a massive part of your childhood, or has it sort of just been a developed interest of yours over time?
Well, I mean, I didn't grow up in regional Victoria. I grew up in Frankston, actually. But my dad, when I was a kid, he photographed display homes, which I feel is a bit, I don't know, it feels very 80s kind of a job, that one. But I don't even know if they still exist. But we would go, like on weekends to very, you know, non-tourist kind of country towns. So, you know, Traralgon or Morwell or Shepparton, those kind of places, and stay in motels. And, you know, I guess you can draw a line from, you know, staying in all those places to this affection that I have for towns that, you know, don't have bells and whistles to lure you in. But and that's the thing that I love about all of those kind of places is, you know, you go to these places and really do experience, you know, what locals experience. You know, you eat where they eat, you know, there's nothing special for you to go to. You just go to what, you know, is there. And I just kind of find that experience so, I don't know, just a bit more kind of honest and real. And so, yeah, but, and you know, it's interesting because I did move back to Melbourne in 2019, 18, I don't know, some year. And actually moved there for that because I got started doing that Acme Accelerator, which is where I met you. And it was interesting that living in Melbourne, I lost a lot of my connection to OK Motels, and I really struggled with that. And it wasn't until I did move back to regional Victoria that I was like, oh, it's back. And I just did, I didn't really understand why I struggled with it so much. And
interesting.
Yeah, but by being back here, I think you get stuck in Melbourne though, don't you? You know, it's harder to escape.
Well, it's a distracting environment, isn't it? Because there's, I guess, so much going on. So did you feel that, was it a case that you were sort of mentally building momentum, I guess, for, you know, evolving the OK Motels idea? Because it wasn't a fully formed thought, but almost, you know, by coming into Melbourne with the intention of developing it further, you've sort of inadvertently set it back a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. And because, you know, I didn't realise. I mean, I also lived somewhere really noisy and expensive, and so I didn't realise these things were such barriers until they weren't there. You know, like I just kept getting so frustrated, wondering why I couldn't be creative, why, you know, my ideas and risk-taking that I love to do so much had been stunted. And I just think that, you know, being in regional Victoria where it's a lot quieter and, I mean, Ballarat's not that, I mean, you know, Ballarat's still noisy, but it's where I live is a lot quieter and it's a lot cheaper. And I think those kind of things, when you're not stressed about paying ridiculous rent and constant noise, you know, it gives you that freedom, a little bit more freedom to sort of take those risks and also just that not necessarily literal noise, but just that noise in your head that, you know, kind of does stop you from being creative and having ideas and... because, you know, yeah, when I was in Melbourne, I was like, my God, I just have had no ideas here. And which is weird for me because, you know, that's all I do. And so, yeah, it was quite interesting to see the change, like literally overnight being from one place to the other going, it's back. So moved to regional Victoria.
No, it's really cool. I'm glad I asked. It wasn't quite what I was expecting. But it obviously gives more context for me in terms of I guess how you tick as a person. But I definitely associate with what you were mentioning there around that sort of noisy concept and less about, you know, literally the noise on the roads, but also yeah, a number of distracting elements that just make it really difficult to sort of, I guess, formulate the thoughts or at the very least begin on creative projects where you might have a few and you want to do them all, but which one to be the most satisfying to pursue? That's the question. And that must be really difficult if you just can't get your mind together to focus on any, even just one thing at a time.
Yeah. And also, I mean, being in Melbourne too, compared to being here, is no one expects me to go to anything when I'm out here. So that's also a bonus.
Yeah.
You know, you can definitely sort of, you know, pick and choose what, you know, you can do nothing if you want to, you know what I mean? Like, people don't expect you to be everywhere all the time because you're around the corner. So, but also, you know, I mean, the obvious other thing about being here is that I can drive, you know, I mean, well, for example, I mean, Charlton's 2 hours away from here, whereas where I used to live, it was 3.5 hours away. And so, you know, I mean, that physical, you know, the physical connection to regional Victoria is, you know, obvious as well, to why I would feel more inspired living in the space as opposed to visit, like, you know, barely visiting it when I lived in Melbourne. So,
yeah. Look, that makes a lot of sense. And thanks for talking that through. I really enjoyed hearing you explain it. I'd love to go back to something we mentioned a little before, and it's in relation to, I guess, your friend who just left her kindergarten job, kindergarten teacher job, I should say, and what you were saying about sort of, you know, this period of, you know, being comfortable with just sort of sitting and reflecting and gathering your thoughts together. Can you remember that time, I guess, pre-OK Motels, in a similar type of time? Like, did you have some, because we have the Lunch Lady project or time in your life, I should say. But did you have a distinct period of assessing your life and evaluating sort of next steps prior to OK Motels as well?
Yes, I actually have a very, I was at Lunch Lady for, I think, 3 years or maybe two years. But I mean, I did do Lunch Lady longer than the magazine. But as the magazine, I was there for 2 years, and you know, that just working on that, you know, I worked so much that I was I ended up in hospital, just emotionally and physically exhausted, and I remember floating around Lake Daylesford on a tube with a glass of wine in my hand, sobbing, saying to my friend, I'm never going to have another idea ever again. I'm just thinking, this is it. Like, I'm done. Like, how am I going to come up with something else? And I think I literally went on that road trip to sort of clear my head and found the Charlton Motel. So, it didn't really take that long, but it's interesting, that process of, having an idea, building it up to a certain point and then sort of walking away from it. It was really quite a big, it was a literal grieving process. And I think that I learned a lot from that experience with Lunch Lady to take into to OK Motels. And it's funny because I was only thinking about it yesterday or the day before about some of the lessons that I'd learned and how, you know, I would be so cranky at myself if I made the same mistakes again. And you know, I think one of the biggest things was that, you know, I didn't value my idea. And so to be very, you know, protective of the thing that you create is important, I think. And being open to, like, you know, what people's ideas and stuff like that. But But never give away, never give away your thing for nothing. It's just, it's definitely one of the biggest lessons that I've learned. And
Well, let's talk about Lunch Lady. Sorry, in terms of for anyone listening who's not familiar with it, just a brief overview of when it was sort of launched out and what sort of born what helped that idea become a reality.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. Like, I think like a lot of the things I end up working on are born from where I am in my life. So, I mean, Lunch Lady was born from, you know, my kids having been bullied, well, my eldest daughter being bullied at school for the lunches that I made her. And, you know, they were just homemade, but the school that she went to, a lot of the kids, you know, had kind of, you know, packaged foods and stuff, which, you know, now I'm busy. I'm for that sometimes. But anyway, I'm a lot more balanced these days. But so we created the blog with, you know, recipes and sharing stories. And, you know, I kind of shared, you know, parent, like, stories of being a parent. And then I ended up teaming up with Lou and Lara from who created Frankie Magazine. And so we turned my Lunch Lady blog into Lunch Lady Magazine. And it's still going. I worked on the first, as I said, for the first 2 years I worked on it. But, you know, this, like, the literally on the magazine it says food and family. And, you know, by the end of the second year, I spent no time with my family. And, and you know, my family was content, and it started pissing me off. And I could see that it was, you know, uncomfortable for my kids as well. And so I just knew that it was time to sort of step away and to, you know, annoy someone else with my projects.
I mean, I won't go too far into, I guess, some of the feelings that time generated, but, you know, I've mentioned, you know, the event I run, Fuck Up Nights, and you've spoken on one in the past, which was, you know, really cool. And, you know, obviously I always have a bit of trepidation in asking people to sort of, you know, come and speak about, I guess, a concept of failure, but whatever that means in relation to how they sort of take it. But, you know, I do distinctly remember you talking about that in regards to, I think, one of your daughters just asking, you know, what you were, I guess, photographing, and she sort of had asked whether, you know, you were photographing the family or photographing for content.
Yeah.
So obviously these thoughts were really starting to crystallise in your mind as to where your priorities laid.
That just gave me goosebumps remembering that. I do. It was we were away actually in Newcastle shooting something, and it was my daughter's birthday, and I was taking a photo, and she was like, is this for us or is this for the magazine? And I was just like, oh. But yeah, it's but you know, it's, I mean, my kids are a lot older now, and you know, so I'm so happy for them to be able to, you know, tell me how it is. And you know, but I do feel a little bit of, you know, quite a bit of guilt for you know, for that period. But I, you know, I know that they're a lot happier now without a camera in their face. So.
And look, on the topic of cameras, you do like, I've seen obviously your Instagram feeds for OK Motels and personally, and your photography is stunning. But I understand you're also, I guess, diving into sort of helping people, you know, photograph and sort of in varying conditions. Is this something you're still intending to pursue or doing at the moment currently?
Yeah, another idea that I've had is there's actually this empty office next to my little office here in Ballarat. And I was like, that would be a cool little workshop space. So I am looking into creating this space in the office that we are in Ballarat. It's funny, actually, the woman who owns it said to me, you might be interested in some office space that I've got. It's in the ugliest building in Ballarat. And I was like, oh my God, she is talking to me. It is like this, and it's like amongst all these beautiful Victorian buildings, next to Her Majesty's Theatre is this concrete brutalist building where we live.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's so great. And so when she said it was the ugliest building, I was like, oh, okay. And then when I saw it, I just was like, holy moly. And it's and there's hardly anyone in here. So there are, there's lots of plans of, having exhibitions, workshops. There's an empty space up on the fourth floor that I'm looking at doing like little pop-up bar and little secret live music things up on the fourth floor and the rooftop.
Cool.
Yeah, so.
Very cool.
Yeah, so yes, I am thinking of, I have been asked recently to do a few more of those workshops where I teach people how to, I like teaching people how to take photos on their phone because, we all have one and they take really, really cool photos. So, and who can you bother carrying around a camera anyway?
Yeah. I can literally hear the photography purist screaming at you, but that's okay. Like,
that's fine.
So you're not in a co-working space per se, but you're in sort of like you've got a little sort of creative collective thing going on within the building.
Yeah. So it's funny because it came about because in lockdown whichever one it was, I think it was the big one. And as we were sort of coming out of that, I dropped my kid off at the bus stop to get to school. And I said, oh, I think I need to get into an office. I'm really lonely. And all of a sudden just started sobbing. And I went, oh, my God, I need to get out of the house. And so I found this space that this woman had told me about. And I took it over and painted it all and did it all in like a week. And now I have these like four incredible women who come in and share the space with me, and it's so great. And I just realized that it's kind of has a lot of parallels with my thing with OK Motels as well. Like I just find so much joy in bringing people that do great things together and getting us all working together. And I think that's what, I love so much about this space. Like, it looks cool and it's in a cool, ugly building, but to share a space with such awesome people is the thing that is so joyful about it.
Yeah, I think I think you and I, maybe that's why we've become friends. We have a shared interest in smashing people together,
Yes,
like,
I love it. How good is it?
Yeah, well, I think, obviously not, focused on seeing seeing a return from doing that, like just literally taking some enjoyment in seeing sort of people collide, and certainly if they're from different lived experiences, very satisfying if they can find something like really in common.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say like, and it is like my biggest thing is not the thing of not seeing it, like, no expectation of seeing a return. I feel is such like, and a lot of people, and I know that a lot of people think that I'm, an idiot for that, but that's pretty much how I go into everything. Is like I just do stuff because it's joyful, and if something great comes back, then that's amazing. But I think that always the best things go, people go into those things that are the best things with, without that expectation. I just think that they're so much more pure and lovely, and people can connect with them a hell of a lot more, I think.
It's funny that that's just prompted me to remember. I was, I think it was just prior to the last OK Motels launching at Charlton, and then I caught up with Andy Miller, who runs Heaps Normal, non-alcoholic beer company, who's been a guest on the podcast in the last season. Anyway, we were chatting, and then we walked past a building in Richmond, and I think Callum Preston had sort of designed the exterior of that. I'm like, oh, you should definitely get in touch with Callum in regards to some projects you're sort of working on. And he's like, ironically, we are literally working on a mini golf course for OK Motels right at this moment. And it was I got such a small pang of satisfaction from hearing that, you know, all these sort of like little worlds have been colliding. So that was a little cool moment. But I had no sort of hand in that. I was just genuinely satisfied to hear of it.
Isn't it so great when those all the little threads join, like those threads join together? It's just so, it's just the best. I'm like, I've got all happy goosebumps again.
Look, and as we get sort of towards the end of the chat, Kate, like, you know, I've really appreciated you opening up. I mean, you know, we referenced it earlier. Obviously, you pour a lot of yourself into, you know, all the projects you're involved in. But maybe to sort of circle back on, you know, OK Motels, you mentioned a couple of upcoming new iterations of it or some plans, etc. But what other sort of, I guess, projects are formulating in your mind, whether if they're not specific, are sort of something that you would love to explore one day?
That's not OK Motels? Or that isn't?
Yeah. I just think, you know, that you know, that is something that you would like to pursue that might not be a fully formed idea at this point in time.
Well, this is kind of like, I don't know, this is weird, but in lockdown, I thought that, you know, the best way for me to like make an income without putting myself into something was to create a product. So I had done that in lockdown. And then I chickened out. Like I've got the prototypes. I've got everything here, and I'm like, oh my god, I can't believe I've done this. And then for the first time ever, I actually have chickened out and not gone through with it. And I was talking to Sophie, who shares the office with me, and she asked me about it. And she's actually, you know, reinvigorated my energy to maybe give it a go. I've created, you know, those hanging fruit baskets?
Yep.
Like, you know, like a three-tiered wire.
And I know exactly which.
And like powder coat, like I've done like three different colours in these like crazy powder-coated colours. And I've got them all ready to go, and I've chickened out. I haven't done it. So I don't know. And you know what? I was thinking perhaps it's because it is a bit soulless and boring and mechanical that I kind of lost interest in it, perhaps. I don't know. But also, apart from my boring soulless product, the only other thing really that I've got a few projects. I've got a project for City Ballarat that I'm doing, which is really exciting, which is I did last year called Be Here Now. And this year, it's really cool. It's taking 8 Ballarat artists and mentoring them and creating their own little music video, which is really exciting. And I'm with OK Motels. We're creating like OK's first record, which is exciting. And so that's like just sort of celebrating regional Victorian musicians and artists, and which will be like a little tour of other towns.
That's so good.
Yeah, that'll be fun as well. there's just a couple of things, you know. So yeah, that's kind of it really. I'm as I said, you know, like my friend going into work yesterday and jumping off the ledge and, you know, taking a chance on herself and, you know, what she wants to do has really fired me up to sort of look at that part of myself that's been a little bit dead and grey for the last few months. And who knows? Like, you know, if you come and talk to me in a week, there'll probably be like 20 things on my list.
Maybe just simply like a slight epiphany, being that you've found some association with someone feeling, you know, similar or who's taken action on it, might sort of, you know, realign your brain. So yeah, not that you need to launch into months of inactivity, but it might sort of be the thing to sort of now, like, you know, respite might only take a weekend then.
Yeah. I just find, you know, I mean, how incredible is that? Like people that just do, you know, like my favorite saying, and I said that this to my friend the other day, is like, you know, that fortune favors the brave. Like, I just love that so much. Like, I just, you know, people that are just willing to fucking have a go and not just throw caution to the wind and go, I just need to do this or find me or whatever. Like, I just find so much inspiration in that and seeing that. Like, it's just, and, you know, so much so that, you know, it's lit the fire back in me. So watch out.
Yeah. Oh, no, I will. you're a force. But, you know, as I you know, mentioned quite a few times, it's, you know, it might be the your downfall at certain times, because it obviously is exhausting in many respects. But I think just the fact that you sort of like harness your emotional investment into your projects and then pour them into it you know, your own personal satisfaction, but that other people really resonate with it. Is what's so, you know, admirable about what you do. So yeah, I have no doubt you'll this fruit basket will become a, you know.
Maybe, you know what, that's what it's missing though. Maybe the fruit basket's missing a bit of love.
It does. Yeah, it just, I reckon you'll ponder this on your staring out your brutalist window over the next few days, and you'll just you'll have some light bulb will go off, and it'll become a, you know, in every household throughout Australia. I'm just waffling on here. Okay, I don't want to ask you if you like, as we finish it off, I don't want to ask you about favorites as part of the Oco Motels lineup, but I'd love to ask you about, at any point when you were curating the lineup, what was sort of one of the most satisfying gets to appear as part of the lineup? Not necessarily the biggest name or anything, but maybe it was like the act you approached that was like, fuck, this thing's real or serious, or maybe it was the dream band that started the idea.
Yeah, well, two that come to mind really is, I mean, obviously, you know, I was just this person who'd never done anything like this before, and to actually get Tropical Fuckstorm to play the first event was pretty, you know, that was pretty great. And and that whole lineup was amazing. Like, it was Tropical Fuckstorm, Cable Ties, Bitch Diesel, and Blake Scott, and Affordable Repayments. But I have to say that having Blake back at the last one for playing his album was just, oh man. Like, I love everyone that's played, like, I really do. But there was something about having Blake come back from being at the first one, and then from just leaving Pete Tempel, and, you know, sort of doing, like, covering sort of the Pete Tempel song solo at the first one, and then for him to come back with this, like, fully formed new band and his own stuff was just, was like such an, it was a bit of a moment, especially when he played the guitar with the drill. That was kind of great. yeah, I don't know about when he put the whole microphone into his mouth in COVID times. That was a bit weird, but a bit scary. But yeah, I think and also having Erica done, like, pretty much play almost every event as well has been pretty wonderful. I think she missed one because TFS were on tour or something like that. But, you know, she's played every okay, apart from one. So that's pretty cool too. So, yeah.
I'm glad I asked. I'd hate to portray that you're, you know, playing favourites or anything, but, you know, it's obviously in that curatorial aspect, it's immensely satisfying to, you know, take a leap on asking certain people. And have them say yes to your crazy harebrained scheme.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, now I think about it, I'm like, oh yeah, but when Cash played, oh my god, that was amazing. And I mean, it's and also I'm gonna just bang on, I'll just like say every band now so I don't feel bad, but also what was really cool was having Rolling Blackouts play, because it was kind of a step away from the kind of TFS AML kind of band, and to kind of hear something new in that space was I was like, like it really did open my eyes to like the potential that that room had. Like I was like, you know, we can listen to other things other than, you know, the tote in, in that room. So, so I will not mention any more bands because then I'll just.
I feel if I keep pressing that you will. So I feel it's contingent on me to just, you know, nip this in the bud and cut it off. But Kate, yeah, look, again, thanks so much for opening up about, you know, your life and your experiences. I mean, the podcast focuses on side projects, et cetera, but, you know, it's always, you know, really, really awesome to hear also about that extra layer of, you know, like pouring, you know, really embracing your own ideas and, you know, really putting some care and love and emotion into the projects that you deliver out to the world, whether for, you know, one particular type of return or just for a few people to enjoy it. And so I really, yeah, really respect what you do and just genuinely very thankful for you sharing your story today.
Aw, thanks, mate. I'm really grateful that you asked me along. I feel very honoured. So thank you.
Wrote you down on the list, like one of the earliest names, but it's it took me a bloody long time. But
I've got a better story to tell now anyway, so it's
yeah, look, all the best to you and your family, and yeah, I can't wait to see what emerges. I'll definitely buy that record. Whether in Ballarat or in the Big Smoke, I'll be catching up with you soon enough, I'm sure.
Yeah, or in Charlton.
Or in Charlton, absolutely. Okay. Awesome to have Kate for that talk. I admire so much of what she does, and she's such a warm personality and such a fantastic person to be around. So hopefully you get to say hello to her in person at an OK Motel soon, of course. So it's okmotels.com.au online or at OK Motels on Instagram, or you can find Kate herself either at hellokateberry.com or at hellokateberry on Instagram. I put a whole bunch of show notes in with the episode if you wanted to check out more of some of the references or the many references I should say throughout the chat. But thank you, Kate, and until next time, thanks a bunch for joining for this relaunch of A Lot to Say. Cheers.